From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Former Vice President Yusuf Kalla said all violent conflicts can be resolved peacefully. Minister Sri Mulyani said pandemic compels public to embrace digital transformation. Now the news in details. Indonesia's former Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated that in principle, all violent conflicts can be resolved through peaceful settlement, but each conflict-torn area may demand a different approach. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, he told participants of a focus group discussion organized by the Indonesian Defense Ministry on Wednesday that the violent conflict can be resolved through peaceful settlement, but in regard to the Papuan conflict, its resolution approach may be distinct from that of Aceh. He also noted that since Indonesia's independence in 1945, the country has experienced 15 large-scale conflicts, most of which have been resolved through military operation. He elaborated in an independent Indonesia, Indonesia has undergone 15 large-scale conflicts with around 1,000 fatalities. 13 of the 15 large-scale conflicts were resolved through military operation, while the remaining two solved through peaceful settlement. Emergence of the COVID-19 pandemic has left people with no choice but to adopt, involve, and conduct digital transformation in their daily lives. This was affirmed by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani on Wednesday. As reported by Antaranus Agency, she noted that digital disruption has ushered in the era of Industry 4.0. The government did not expect to be affected by the COVID-19 pandemic this year. In fact, Minister Sri Mulyani highlighted that applying digitalization posed a major challenge for the public before the COVID-19 pandemic struck. As an example, she cited that the Ministry of Finance had, in fact, started implementing digital transformation since before the pandemic, though it was yet in its early stages. Indonesia and Morocco will commemorate the cooperation between the two countries, which has been established for 60 years in 2020. The diplomatic relations have started since April 1960 and continuously grown stronger. Director General for Asia-Pacific and African Affairs at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, in his remarks in an international webinar commemorating 60 years of Indonesia-Morocco cooperation stated that the momentum of celebrating 60 years of cooperation between the two countries in 2020 is a very important initiative amid the COVID-19 pandemic. He further said that the cooperation has been described as close friendship at the community level. He hopes that Indonesia and Morocco can continuously keep the cooperation, particularly in promoting moderate Islam to the international world.
Sebagaimana diketahui, hubungan diplomatik RI Maroko dimulai sejak April.
As it is known, the diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Morocco began on April 19, 1960. During 60 years of cooperation between the two countries in many fields has been going well and stable. Indonesia and Morocco are also strategic partners in bringing forward of moderate Islam to the international world.
Juga merupakan mitra strategis dalam memajukan Islam yang moderat kepada dunia internasional.
Furthermore, Desra Percaya also hopes that the cooperation between Indonesia and Morocco can be developed continuously by sharing perspectives on moderate Islam and religious harmony. He also expects the two countries can continue to develop efforts of promoting moderate Islam, counteracting the issue of radicalism, removing the image of radical Islam and the stigma of Islamophobia, both in the form of bilateral cooperation and in various global cooperation forums. Executive Secretary of the National Team for the Acceleration of Poverty Reductions, TNP2K, Bambang Widianto, said in a virtual seminar on Wednesday that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought about impact on Indonesia's efforts to tackle stunting. He also stated that the problem of stunting is proportional to the need for food security and nutrition. These two points have been hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. Thereby, he said that to ensure food and nutrition security continues amid the pandemic, the central government calls for all stakeholders, including regional governments, to be able to develop types of local food.
Due to the complexity of food insecurity and nutrition, a concerted effort across the government is needed to tackle both existing and new posed by the pandemic. This entails an active role on the behalf of local governments to enhance local food. This suggests that local government could play a larger role in complementing the central government's stunting reduction effort by focusing on nutrition-specific intervention and accommodating local problems. Enhancing food security and nutrition calls for a cooperation between many stakeholders. It requires not just coordinated effort across ministries, but also beyond, as local government should also take an active role in stunting alleviation.
Bambang Widianto further stated that the COVID-19 pandemic also impacted the national economy. As a result, people's income decreases and at the same time, it weakens their purchasing power. Even so, the government has taken steps to deal with it, one of which is through the provision of a number of social assistance programs provided for the affected communities. Bambang also remarked that the provision of social assistance must also be in line with increasing public awareness of nutrition and good nutrition practices. Data from the Central Statistics Agency BPS shows that in the first quarter of 2020, the poverty rate in Indonesia has increased due to the COVID-19 pandemic from 9.22% in September 2019 to 9.78% in March 2020. The BPS also noted that the COVID-19 pandemic has increased the number of poor people in Indonesia to more than 2 million people. The British government has praised Indonesia for checking the spread of coronavirus infections in the country. This was stated by Chief of the Committee for COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery, concurrently Minister of State Enterprises, Erick Thohir, in a written statement released on Wednesday. As reported by Antaranus Agency, he said that the success of Indonesia as the world's fourth most populous country in curbing the pace of the COVID-19 pandemic will contribute significantly to global efforts against the disease. As a manifestation of appreciation from the UK and several other countries, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, or CEPI, has placed Indonesia's state-owned pharmaceutical firm Bio Farma in the category of competent companies in terms of developing COVID-19 vaccine. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan acknowledged endeavors to preserve Indonesia's forest ecosystem as a crucial strategy while highlighting the significant potentials of carbon storage in its rainforest. During a webinar on Indonesian forest preservation as quoted by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday, he stated that Indonesia is home to primary forests with the world's third largest tropical forest that store 200 tons of aerorecoverable carbon per hectare, as compared to the Amazon that stores 100 tons of carbon per hectare. In addition, Indonesia has 3.4 million hectares of mangrove forests that store one-third of the global coastal carbon reserves, crucial for adaptations and survival in facing natural disasters and climate change. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said a new three-tier system of regional COVID-19 restriction in England is the right way forward. As reported by BBC.com, he told the House of Commons the policy can bring down the virus, but he did not rule out going farther. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer again called for a circuit breaker, a short, limited lockdown in England to bring the virus under control. He said such a move was supported by the government science advisor. The Prime Minister said he hoped the three-tier system would avoid the misery of a national lockdown. He added that he rules out nothing, of course, in combating the virus, but the government is going to do it with the local. The regional approach that can drive down will drive down the virus if it is properly implemented. French imposed curfews while other European nations are closing schools, cancelling surgeries, and enlisting students' medics. As overwhelmed authorities face the nightmare scenario of a COVID-19 resurgence at the onset of winter. As reported by Reuters.com, with the new cases hitting about 100,000 daily, Europe has by a wide margin overtaken the United States, where more than 51,000 COVID-19 infections are reported on average every day. With cases in France climbing fast, President Emmanuel Macron announced with night curfews for 4 weeks from Saturday in Paris and other major cities, affecting almost one-third of the country's 67 million population. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary entitled Inject the COVID-19 Vaccine Soon. Amid the protests against omnibus law, job creation law in Indonesia during the pandemic, the emergence of new clusters is certainly worried. But the good news is, the phase 3 clinical trial of COVID-19 vaccine had entered the final phase. In Indonesia, there is yet any report about the vaccine volunteers experiencing illness because of the vaccine. Many then hope the vaccine could suppress the COVID-19 virus that has spread in almost every country in the world. Meanwhile, amid the hope of successful vaccine development, Johnson & Johnson from USA on Monday, October the 12th, announced some of their 16,000 volunteers called illness, and then they delayed the next process that had entered the final phase. As quoted from CNN, the delay doesn't mean stopping the vaccine test, but it will be a material for another research for US doctors. The researchers are reviewing the vaccine test and examining the vaccine sample. This happened in England in September. However, in Indonesia, so far, miraculously, there is yet any sign to stop or review the vaccine from China that is still under the third phase test jointly done with Indonesian state-owned pharma company PT Bio Farma. About COVID-19 vaccine procurement, Indonesia had ordered three types of vaccine for the people. COVID-19 Task Force spokesperson Wiku Adhisasmito said that the government's move by purchasing three different vaccines that haven't passed the third phase of the clinical test had been previously consulted with health experts. According to Wiku, until now, there is yet any report that the three vaccines cause any negative effect that harms the users. If the vaccine didn't pass the clinical test, then the Indonesian government had anticipated it by terminating the purchase as written in the purchasing contract. Truly, COVID-19 vaccine procurement is a main thing for Indonesian people, considering the health experts predicted that the pandemic can continue for until the next 2 years. Research is also developed after the emergence of virus mutation. Besides that, if the purchase is done after the test, the price will surely soar. Besides purchasing vaccines, Indonesian vaccine producers with the health experts and researchers are trying to find alternative cures for COVID-19. Indonesian Ulama Council or MUI and health experts also had left for China to observe the production and test the halal aspect of the vaccine that will be injected to Indonesian citizens, considering most of them are Muslims. Besides that, Indonesian government had prioritized early vaccination programs for medical apparatus and security personnel who stayed in the front line against COVID-19. And listener, that was the commentary today.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on October 15, 1970, when Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as President of Egypt. Great General Muhammad Anwar al-Sadat is an Egyptian politician and soldier. He was inaugurated as the third President of Egypt on the period of October 15, 1970, until October 6, 1981. By Western countries, he was considered as a very influential person in Egypt and the Middle East in modern history. In 1964, after holding various positions in the Egyptian government, he was elected by President Gamal Abdel Nasser to be inaugurated as Vice President. Anwar Sadat served the position until 1966 and once again from 1969 until 1970. After Gamal Abdel Nasser passed away, Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as the third president of Egypt. In 1973, he along with Hafez al-Assad from Syria led Egypt in the Yom Kippur war against Israel. In 1978, along with Prime Minister of Israel, Anwar Sadat created a peace agreement of Egypt-Israel, or well-known Camp David, which was opposed by Arabic nations. Due to the agreement, Anwar Sadat and Menachem began to receive the Peace Nobel. On October 6, 1981, President Anwar Sadat was shot dead in a military parade by the soldier of Islamic Jihad Organization, a hardline organization which opposed the peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. The next event is that in 1990, when Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev received Nobel. Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev was a Russian politician and leader of Soviet Union in the period of 1985 until 1991. On March 11, 1985, he became the fifth General Secretary of Soviet Union Communist Party to replace Konstantin Chernenko, who passed away. In his government, Mikhail Gorbachev carried out huge changes in economic and political systems indirectly or directly triggered the dissolution of the Soviet Union. He resigned as President of Soviet Union on December 25, 1991, following a coup attempt by Hardline in Moscow in August 1991, which was triggered by the existence of conflict on plan to change the form of the state. Gorbachev received the Peace Nobel on October 15, 1990, because of Glasnost and Perestroika program, and also received the Freedom Award of Ronald Reagan from his former rival Ronald Reagan in 1992. The last event is that in 1998, the National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women was established. National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women is an independent state agency in Indonesia, which was established as a national mechanism to eliminate violence on women. The agency was established on October 15, 1998, based on Presidential Decree No. 181/1998, which was revised by Presidential Regulation No. 65 and 66/2005. The agency is one of the three national human rights agencies available. Two other agencies are National Commission of Human Rights and Indonesian Child Protection Commission, or KPAI. The National Commission on Violence Against Indonesian Women was established on demand of civil society, especially women community to the government, in a bid to create the state's responsibility in responding and handling violence on women. The Commission is one of national human rights institutions which focuses on enforcement of Indonesian women's human rights. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus tahu. Ku ingin kau begitu, agar kau tahu, jadilah engkau milikku selalu utuh. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku, bila ku mati, mati. Walau tak ada cinta, sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu utuh. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Mengapa
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the World, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Central Java Provincial's Government conducting preparation in facing tsunami on South Java coast. Governor of Central Java, Ganjar Pranowo, said that the Central Java Provincial's government is preparing for a potential tsunami on the southern coast of Java with various contingency plans as well as outreach and education to the people in the area. This was done based on the earthquake activity recorded from various sources including the Meteorology Climatology Geophysic Agencies, BMKG. The signs of tsunami have been known to have potentials in the Indian Ocean through research some time ago, which then raised questions regarding the mega thrust in the Indian Ocean covering the central and southern parts of Java. So it is important to pay attention to these danger zone areas. This was said by Ganjar Pranowo during a virtual discussion on Disaster Risk Reduction Month commemoration as reported by Antara in Jakarta. Governor Ganjar Pranowo said that the readiness to face tsunami on the south coast of Java was not sufficient only with contingency plans and socialization, but also preparation of evacuation routes and temporary shelters. These efforts are being prepared, including in areas that have been mapped, including Cilacap, Kebumen, Purworejo, and Wonogiri. The governor said there were more than 600,000 people threatened by a tsunami in the four regions. On the other hand, education for the local community is also an important point in disaster preparedness. Take, for example, in Japan, the damage caused by the tsunami can be minimized by the presence of many trees. This has been monitored in Kebumen, where there are sea pine or shrimp pine trees that have grown lush and tall. According to Governor Ganjar, if the areas in the southern part are planted with lots of trees, this might be help prevent the worst impact of the tsunami. Furthermore, the governor said tsunami disaster mitigation also includes an alarm that functioned when the system received information or warnings. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku, mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu akan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti. Sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah kasih untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah kasih untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da 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 da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian. Mungkin jiwaku masih haus sanjungan kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Badruin Waterfall in South Kalimantan. Listener, Badruin Waterfall is located in Sungai Bakar Village, Laihari District, about 10 kilometers from Tanah Laut Regency, or 75 kilometers from Banjarmasin, the provincial capital of South Kalimantan. During the trip to the natural tourist area of Badruin, you will be presented with a beautiful natural panorama in the form of green hills and expanses of rice fields around the hills. Arriving at this tourism area, you have to pass through the gate. From the gate, the journey continues by foot, climbing through the stairs, which takes about 40 minutes to the waterfall. However, if you cannot climb the path to the waterfall, you can enjoy lake panorama of Telaga Alam. You can take a bath or just take pictures in this lake. Badruin has the charms of a beautiful waterfall, and the air is very cool and fresh, because many trees grow around this area. In this location, there are actually four waterfalls with different heights. The nearest waterfall has 25 meters high. The second waterfall is about 17 meters high. The third waterfall is about 37 meters high. And the fourth waterfall is about 18 meters high. In these four waterfalls, you can take a bath and take fun photos. Because this waterfall is located in the Marathos Forest, you can also do natural ecotourism activities, such as trekking, climbing, and hiking. After enjoying the coolness and freshness of Badrin Waterfall, you don't have to go home immediately. You can also visit the marble cave near the waterfall site. This cave has its own uniqueness, which is on the walls of the cave. There are many marble stones that are used for home tiles. The shape of the cave is unique, like a mosque dome. So if you visit Badrin, please also visit the marble cave. Well, listeners, that was our segment for today's Indonesian Wonder. I'm Nuka Kosmawati. Thank you very much for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Yeah.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Welcome back to our regular segment, Miss Lenny. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on Denpasar Festival 2020. Listeners, even though the situation of COVID-19 pandemic is still occurring, the Denpasar City Government in Bali continues to hold the Denpasar Festival or Denfest 2020. This festival is also held virtually. According to head of the Creative Economy Agency Denpasar City, I Putu Yuliarta, this year Denfest is indeed packaged differently with the aim of supporting the acceleration of the handling of COVID-19 in Denpasar City. In addition, Yuliarta added that implementation of the event is an effort to restore the economy in Denpasar City. Festival, which has been held for 12 years, can be witnessed for 3 months. It involves hundreds of communities and shows a variety of entertainment from traditional, modern, and contemporary forms. Denfest 2020 can be said to be the biggest and longest online event in Indonesia. There are 189 events in collaboration with 407 creative communities. Various activities in this year's Denfest are like food festival, craft, fashion and exhibition, virtual fashion show, Mabarung film, Mayor's Cup creative competition, Putri visualization, one round drama, Denfest photo essay contest 2020, Denfest sketch contest 2020, Ogoh competition, Ogoh virtual, storytelling, lead art competition, music battle, photography workshop, ceramic workshop, F&B workshop. According to Yuliarta, the implementation of health protocols is the main aspect in this event. Thus, people can remain productive and safe during this COVID-19 period and the economy can grow again. On October 2nd, Denpasar Festival was officially opened virtually at the Dharma Negara Alaya Building, Lumintang, Denpasar. This year's Denfest carries the theme Creativity Breaking Boundaries. The opening of the festival was enlivened by the appearance of the Siwa Nataraja, inauguration and dialogue with Mayor of Denpasar. If you want to see the Denpasar Festival virtually, you can open channel Creativity Denpasar. That was was Miss Lenny with the topic Denpasar Festival 2020. Thanks for listening.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ocakuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song Untuk Kita Renungkan by Ebit G. Ade. Ebit G. Ade is known for his distinctive melodious voice. He is mastering musical instruments and composing songs. Ebit's ballad songs are indeed timeless and are often dedicated on various occasions up to this time. Most of his songs tell about romance, religion, family, and also natural disasters. One of Ebit's songs, entitled Untuk Kita Renungkan, was composed during the Mount Galunggung disaster in 1982. Through this song, Ebit reminds us to reflect on what we have been done and get closer to Almighty God. Listener, let's listen to Ebit G. Ade with the song Untuk Kita Renungkan. Enjoy the song.
Kita mesti telanjang dan benar-benar bersih. Suci lahir dan di dalam batin. Tengoklah ke dalam sebelum bicara. Singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Oh, singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Du 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 du. Oh 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 oh. Anugerah dan bencana adalah kehendaknya. Kita mesti tabah menjalani. Hanya cambuk kecil agar kita sadar. Adalah dia di atas segalanya. Oh, adalah dia di atas segalanya. Anak menjerit-jerit, asap panas membakar, lahar dan badai menyapu bersih. Ini bukan hukuman, hanya satu isyarat, bahwa kita mesti banyak berbenah. Memang bila kita kaji lebih jauh dalam kegalutan, masih banyak tangan yang tega berbuat nista. Oh, oh, Tuhan pasti telah memperhitungkan amal dan dosa yang kita perbuat. Kemanakah lagi kita kan sembunyi, hanya kepadanya kita kembali. Tak ada yang bakal bisa menjawab, mari hanya runduk sujud padanya. Memerangi diri, bercermin dan banyaklah bercermin. Tuhan ada di sini, di dalam.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.